Good morning, and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, a Vision for You Big Book Study. My name is Kathleen O., and I am a recovered compulsive overeater. Today is Friday, May 14th, and this is the 10 a.m. Eastern Time meeting. Today we are reading from the Big Book. We're on page 58, the first paragraph that begins with, "Rarely have we seen a person fail," and we'll be reading and commenting on this one paragraph only. Today's readers are Christine G., who will be reading the 12 Steps, Terry S., will be reading the 12 Traditions, and the readers of our text are Robin P., Julie E. B., and Sherry K. B. The share ID for Thursday, May 13th, the 10 a.m. Easter Time meeting, is 16,937. That's 16937. This morning's Friday, May 14th, 7 a.m. Eastern Time meeting, share ID is 16,945. That's 16945. Our newcomer greeter for today is Leah S., and Robin P. will be making the announcements. The OA preamble. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We are self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose. OA's fifth tradition states, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At a Vision for You Big Book study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. And I'll now ask Christine G. to read the 12 steps, please. Good morning, Christine.
Thank you. Good morning. One. We admit it, we are powerless over food, that our lives had become unmanageable. Two, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. Three, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood Him. Four, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. Five, admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. Six, we're entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. 7. Humbly asked Him to remove our shortcomings. 8. Made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. 9. Made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10. Continued to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11. Sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood Him, praying only for knowledge of His will for us and the power to carry that out. 12. Having had a spiritual awakening as a result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to compulsive overeaters and to practice these principles in all our affairs. Pass.
And thank you so much, Christine G. And good morning, Terry S., if you'd read the 12 traditions for us, please.
Good morning, everyone. Happy to do service. This is Terry S. in Oregon. 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. 1. Our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. 2. For our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God as He may express Himself in our group conscience. The leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. 3. The only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. 4. Each group should be autonomous except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. 5. Each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. 6. An OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise. Lest problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. 7. Every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. 8, Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. 9, OA as such ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10, Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues, hence the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11, our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, films, television, and other public media of communication. 12, anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all these traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities. Thank you.
And thank you, Terry S. How our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature, then stop and share on what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and literature we are discussing, and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year, and for readers is 6 months. There is no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We are sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press star 1 to unmute. Once you are done sharing, let us know by saying pass, then press star 1 to mute your phone. In order to have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone except the speaker's should be muted. And today we resume our study of the Big Book. We are on page 58, the first paragraph that begins with, "Rarely have we seen a person fail." We're reading and commenting on that one paragraph only. And good morning, Robin P. If you could get us started, please.
Thanks so much, Kathleen. This is Robin P. I'm a very grateful recovered compulsive overeater currently in Vero Beach, Florida. Rarely have we seen a person fail who has thoroughly followed our path. Those who do not recover are people who cannot or will not completely give themselves to this simple program. Usually men and women who are constitutionally incapable of being honest with themselves. There are such unfortunates. They are not at fault. They seem to have been born that way. They are naturally incapable of grasping and developing a manner of living which demands rigorous honesty. Their chances are less than average. There are those, too, who suffer from grave emotional and mental disorders, but many of them do recover if they have the capacity to be honest. Wow, I feel like this paragraph speaks for itself. And I wondered if Bill and, you know, rarely have we seen a person fail. I wondered if they toyed with saying never have we seen a person fail who has thoroughly followed our path, but they might not have wanted to say that, but that's what they might have. I just wondered about that. Maybe they're just covering themselves. But, you know, because my experience is that when someone's willing to go to any length to recover and be honest, open, and willing, that's how you recover, that we recover. And that's going to any length. And it's a simple program for complicated people. And, you know, some of us have outside issues and all of that. You know, I came from a lot of child abuse. Wow. And it was really, I was raised in an atheist home. And, you know, I saw God on the walls when I first came into program decades ago and went, oh, my gosh, this is, they substituted one, you know, crutch for another. And I just, it was really a hard bridge for me at first. And, you know, but even in spite of all of those issues, and I think emotional and mental disorders, you know, depression and fear and just shame from all the abuse and everything, I still have been abstinent for 5 years by God's grace, one day at a time, because I was willing to go to any length to recover. And when I feel uncomfortable, it's because I believe that I'm not asking for help. And so I just get to keep asking for help, being of service, and just reaching out to God and my fellows. You know, I always think of that this is really about my recovery, emotionally, physically, and spiritually. So I try to tick off every box every day. Like, what am I doing emotionally for my recovery today? What am I doing spiritually for my recovery? What am I doing physically for my recovery today? And that helps me a lot. And being honest, you know, if I'm feeling uncomfortable, what's going on? Am I being, you know, I've worked through the 12 steps and I sponsor people. And whenever I sponsor somebody, the first thing I ask, are you willing to go to any lengths to recover? Because that's going to be the key. And, you know, I'm just so eternally grateful for this program. I'm so grateful that I get to live a life happy, joyous, and free. And I was not, I came into this program depressed, unhappy, miserable, wanting to die, wondering why God didn't let me die. And now I'm just really loving life on life terms with God and my fellows. And I get to be of service. And thank God. It's a miracle. God bless everybody with a very blessed and abstinent day. I'm so grateful I got to share. Thank you.
And thank you so much, Robin P., for getting us started this morning. Okay, we're on page 58, the first paragraph. Rarely have we seen a person fail. We're reading and commenting on that one paragraph only. And although we do value your experience, we ask that you limit your share to every third day in order that others may share their experience too. So who would like to share on this paragraph?
Irene B.
Irene B.
Christina J.
Tamara J.
Robin, is that Tamara with a T? Was that Tamara with a
with a T?
Mm-hmm. And J was your last initial?
Yes.
Okay. And Robin P?
Robin H.
Sorry, Robin H. Sorry.
Oh, thank you. That's okay. Thank you.
Annabelle Z.
Annabelle Z. And I can take one more. Okay, we will stop there. All right, so I have Irene B., Christina J., Tamara J., Robin H., and Annabelle Z. So go ahead, please, Irene B.
This is Irene. Can I be heard?
Yes, you can.
Thank you. Okay, I'm going to start my timer because I'm horrible about that and I forget. So I'm Irene B., a great recovered bulimic, and I love the title of this chapter because the previous chapters made me so very hungry and thirsty for the promises, for what could happen to someone like me. And I had tried so hard on my own and with so much help from so many sources to recover from this bulimia, and it was impossible. I suffered from compulsive overeating since age 6, from bulimia since age 18. And I was told that everything in moderation was okay, that there's no such thing as forbidden foods. And I suspect that had a lot to do with the fact that I couldn't recover in 40 years despite 4 inpatients, 4 outpatient treatment centers. I'm approaching about 40 therapists in my lifetime now. So, and with all that, I couldn't get the recovery I desperately wanted. And I had tried so hard that I thought I was the one who was never, ever, ever going to recover. I was the exception to the rule. I was terminally unique. I was such a hard nut to crack that nothing was going to help me because everything had proved to be a failure. I was a failure. And then I was desperate. And then I heard that AA helped alcoholics. And it's like, well, if this 12-step helps them, maybe this is one of the few things I haven't tried. I didn't think that OA was for bulimics. That's what I was told back in 1980-something. So I was without hope. And I had no idea how dishonest I was. I learned well into my journey that I was utterly dishonest, that I was utterly incapable of being honest. And I thought I was so honest. I thought I was brutally honest. I was very, very honest. But I didn't realize how many lies I told myself and how I believed them. And I was dishonest because I did not own my feelings because, oops, there's my time. Yeah, so I'll just wrap up and say that I needed to get honest with my feelings, acknowledge them, feel them, not suppress them, not disassociate. And that was a critical part of my recovery because by the grace of God, I have 4 years of recovery from bulimia, and I thought that was the impossible task. Thank you.
Thank you, Irene B. And Christina J., you're up. Good morning, followed by Tamara J.
Good morning, Kathleen. Thank you for your service. Thanks to everyone on the line. Can't wait to hear the shares. The first couple meetings were incredible on this paragraph. How it works. They hit us right up, right in the first paragraph with honesty. How it works. We got to be honest. And when I first read this with my very first sponsor, I envisioned in the big book way, I didn't get it. I thought I kind of was confused about honesty, but I didn't think I was dishonest. So why did they bring this up right away? Well, for me, I was honest, dishonest all my life. I would lie about food. I hid my food. That was just one huge way I was dishonest. I was ashamed. Why was I dishonest around food? Because I was ashamed. Ashamed, guilty about it, and just horrified that I would put weight on, and there my dishonesty would show, because, like, where is this coming from, you know? I don't know, my thyroid, my clothes are getting smaller from the dryer, I don't, you know, tons of different excuses, but as I reflected on this paragraph this morning, I realized that I was afraid to be honest in my life. I was afraid of not being accepted and loved, and if I did something wrong that I thought you would put me down for and not accept me for, I had to lie about it. And I got into the music business a little later in life, and I thought I had to lie about my age, and I went to great lengths and anxiety attacks trying to figure out a way to get a driver's license that would say I was younger than I was. I mean, my whole life was riddled with dishonesty. And today I don't have that. I'm honest. I accidentally ran my car into some cement and scraped the paint. And I was scared to death to tell my husband. Years ago, I lied about something like that. I said, I don't know where it came from, but God grant me the courage to, you know, face the things and be honest about the things I can't be honest about. So I took him out there and I said, look, I did something and I was scared, but he said, okay. And, you know, much easier to be honest and tell the truth and rid myself of that anxiety. So completely giving yourself to this program, it took me until now to understand really what this paragraph meant. And I'm so grateful today that God is making me aware of how to be honest in my life and everything, because I'm that autopilot numb child, you know. I go into autopilot numb around everything. I don't even know when I'm being dishonest. I don't even know when, you know, picking up the food in the past, there was times when I just picked it up. I didn't realize I was picking it up. So this program works on us from the inside out, and it shows us over the years how we can get more honest, more humble, more real, more raw, more compassionate, more understanding. We become beautiful human beings full of God's Spirit. And if you're new and you're just coming in, you don't have to be afraid of this. You know, you don't have to be afraid. Just one step at a time, honestly noticing things as they come up and looking at them and moving forward in this, and you'll get to this wonderful place of recovery. And
thank you.
And thank you. And not living in fear anymore about, you know, your life. So thank you for letting me share. I pass.
Thank you, Christina J. in Washington. And Tamara J., you are up, followed by Robin H. Go ahead, Tamara.
Hi, I'm Tamara J. from California, compulsive overeater. And, you know, this first paragraph, oh my goodness, I'm a member of another 12-step program, and I have success in that program in the fact that it slightly worked for me. But I knew that the food was the problem. I just knew that, and I couldn't get anybody to understand that. So as we read this paragraph, I think to myself, there's something wrong with me. It clearly says here that rarely has a person failed, but I'm failing. So it says that all we had to do was follow a simple program, and I'm like, but I didn't know what the program was. And the fact that maybe I wasn't being honest with myself, I didn't get it. I'm like, what does that mean? I couldn't understand it. It wasn't until just a couple weeks ago that I finally found out about this Avision program, and I was just amazed. I'm totally amazed with the program and how wonderful it is, how it's put together and so forth. And the weirdest part is that perhaps I don't have an emotional or mental disorder. Maybe all it was is I just didn't, maybe I just wasn't ready, because now I get it. And so for today, I'm on my day two of abstinence, because I found out what it was that was the problem. And that problem for me was those alcoholic foods that I hadn't given up. And I won't say that I was dishonest about them, because I really didn't know what they were, but in listening to the different podcasts, I was able to learn. So I'm grateful for this program, and I can't wait to see how far it takes me. Anyway, thanks for letting me share. I pass.
Well, thank you, Tamara J. Good to have you here with us. Okay, Robin H., you're up, followed, and that's Tamara J. in California. Robin H., you are up, followed by Annabelle Z. Good morning, Robin.
Good morning, and thank you, everybody, for your service. And I'm just thank you for all of your shares. So I'm calling from Boston, and I am anorexic and exercise bulimic. And I'm a newbie, and I'm happy to say that, and it feels so good to say that, because it's just one more way that I can say I don't know. And I have had to remind myself, I don't know. I don't know what I'm doing. I don't know. Somebody help me. But all of my life, I have been taught to just rely on myself, my self-will, you know, and my knowledge and my thinking, and that's going to get me through everything. And I have always thought, I've got this. And this paragraph, just to me, it sings of hope and beauty and love. You know, when I read, they are not at fault, I'm like, no, I'm not at fault. It is not my fault. And that's one of my core beliefs that I was telling my sponsor yesterday, that I, you know, whatever problems there are in the world, I don't know if you know that, but they're all my fault. And that's what I have carried. And I realized just now of hearing this paragraph, my sponsor has also asked me, am I willing to go to any length to recover, to any and all lengths to recover? That's what this paragraph, I feel, is asking or is saying, look, this has happened to them and to us. This is what we did. You too can do this. You have to go to any length. And I thought, well, sure, of course I am. This morning I realized, well, I do know that I am. I have gone to any length to hold on so tightly to my self-will and everything that I have been doing, and it has gotten me nowhere. It's just gotten me, well, it's gotten me to the same place over and over and over again. And I have met so many people in this past few weeks who I can honestly say, I'm like, I love these people. I have met so many wonderful people in recovery, all of you. I feel like I'm just getting more connected to everybody. And one of the most important entities that I have met is God. God's been there all along in my life, but I have not opened my eyes. I have not opened my heart. And I feel like I'm just having a whole new understanding of the world. And all I need to do is just follow the steps and let God and let all of you and let the program lead and guide me. And it's hard to let go of my thinking that is telling me you need to do these things and that's going to help you get it right. No, none of those things are. And in order to do that, I've got to be honest and I have to be open and just sit back and ask. And be open. And I am learning that from all of you. And with extreme gratitude, I say thank you and I pass.
And thank you, Robin H. in Massachusetts. And just a reminder before I take you, Annabelle Z, reminder to everyone, we're on page 58, the first paragraph, really, have we seen a person fail? And I'll be taking some more names after Annabelle. So go ahead, please, Annabelle Z.
Thank you. Good morning. My name is Annabelle Z from Washington State. And I've kind of held out sharing the last, the week, because I so wanted to share on this paragraph. And reading this morning, I actually heard something different than I kind of thought I wanted to share about. And that is this specific line about being honest with themselves. I didn't have a clue what that even meant. And my first years in the program, in another program, I was all about the cash register honesty, the developing a manner of living which demands rigorous honesty, the manner of living. Oh, you know, I don't steal, I never take a pen from work, you know, just these little things. In fact, I was fired from a job early on in my early 20s, and it was just devastating to me because I was practicing this program, and I was fired because there was $20 missing from the till, and it was not me, honestly. But I had no capability of the being honest with myself. Like, what was it about me that made them, you know, think it was me? And, you know, and so it took so much, and part of it is life maturity. But I think because I was just constantly, you know, eating to cover my feelings for the next 2.5 decades until last October, when I came to Vision, I never had the ability to feel any feelings and to be honest about, oh, that kind of hurt my feelings, or, you know, this is selfish. You know, like what we do in the steps, doing our 10th step to actually get to the core of what we're feeling and how we're reacting to life, and then admitting honestly that I have no power over anybody or anything. And I think it starts with what the first, whatever, 57 pages were all about looking at, hey, I really have this disease. I really cannot ingest such and such foods. I really have to sit down to eat whatever my food plan is, you know. And I really do have to get to, sit down with my higher power every single day. Like, this just sort of honest with myself, like, this is what I need, and it's okay. And I also have been, you know, diagnosed with some quote-unquote outside issue. It's really, for me, I've learned to not like that term. I mean, I don't want to be offensive to anyone who said that, but it, in the sense that it's still my truth. You know, it's outside of the scope of this program, but not really, because I can, the honesty is me accepting, not, oh, that's something else. If I just work a good enough 12-step program, that'll something else. And the truth is I just need to accept that that is part of me. And so, gosh, it's been so hard to be honest with myself. It's just a reality now, and God is constantly revealing new things through when it talks about, you know, people who honestly work this program. As I constantly continue to work the steps, more is revealed. Nice. Yeah, thank you so much for letting me share. Have a great day.
And thank you, Annabelle C. in Washington. Okay, we're on page 58, the first paragraph, Rarely Have We Seen a Person Fail. And if you have not shared in the last 3 days, I would love to get your name.
Diana C.
Patty.
Okay, hold on 1 second. Hold on.
Ronnie in Missouri.
Diane B.
Okay, hold on. Okay, here's what I heard. And I forgot who was in between. I have Diane B. There was someone after Diane B. before Patty B. And
Barbara
Cheryl
E.
F. Barbara E. That's who it was. Thank you, Barbara. And then Patty B. And I think it was it Sherry S. or Cheryl S.?
There was a Ronnie in Missouri.
Oh. Cheryl S.
Cheryl S. Okay. And then I also have Ronnie in Missouri. And Ronnie, what's the first initial of your last name?
B.
B. Okay. And anyone else want to get in this lineup?
Nadia B.
Nadia B. Okay. Let's stop there. I have Diane B., Barbara E., Patty B., Cheryl S., Ronnie B., and Nadia B. A lot of B's. Okay, so go ahead, please, Diane B. star one to unmute, Diane.
Now, can you hear me?
I can. Thank you.
Okay. I'm sorry. This is Diane B. from Southern California. I'm so grateful to be on the line today. I love this paragraph. And in studying the big book, I practically have it memorized. It's been repeated over and over and over again in my mind. And I just thought that it's taken like 45 years to get this program. And I always just thought I had grave emotional and mental disorders, and I just was never going to get it. And it's interesting to me, the number of people that are on this vision line who have kind of taken the same route of many years of trying to get this program and finally getting it. And one of the reasons how I got it this time is because of the big book. When I got into groups that were seriously studying the big book, the light came on, and I also had time in my life to work the steps, because when I was raising little children, it was very difficult to, first of all, prepare their food, prepare my food, and be in meetings all the time. So it's okay. It's okay. It's okay that it took this long. It's okay that God has given me this path. The important part about it was, is that I never gave up. I just kept trying and kept trying to get it. And now, when people ask me if I want this or that, or why I don't eat this or that, I don't really care what they think anymore, because there's peace in my life, because I figured out what I can eat and what I cannot eat, when I can eat and when I cannot eat it. So being honest with the food, being honest with God, has given me the peace that I've always wanted in this program. And because of all those years of trying to work this program and doing the best that I could, God has matched my efforts of keeping on trying. And I'm just so grateful for all of you who are so willing to give up your time and your love to all the rest of us who are just trying to get this program. And I pass. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Diane B. in California. And Barbara E., you are up, followed by Patty B. Good morning, Barbara.
Good morning. Can you hear me, or have I muted myself again?
I can hear you loud and clear.
Oh, good. That mute button does not like me. Well, in this first paragraph alone, I counted the word honesty 3 times. And that's what it's all about, as they say, Charlie Brown. I had to be honest with myself before I could be honest with you. And I didn't like myself. So why would I be honest? And I realized that by sharing our stories, we see that we all have this common bondage, and that by listening to your story, it gives me the hope that I can continue on. I've been in OA since 1997, and through the grace of a God I did not believe in, I have been abstinent. But I have also been honest, honest with my sponsor, honest with myself, knowing that my mental obsession was something I couldn't be rid of with by unaided human will, because I really thought I could do it. After all, I'd lost over 100 pounds 9 times before. The problem was I gained it back within 6 months. So I absolutely had to accept that I was defeated, I was broken. I was desperate. I did not think I was insane, crazy, totally irrational, except around the food. Because once I started, I couldn't stop. Even when my mind said, Barbara, stop, you're killing yourself, I couldn't. Until I crawled in on my knees to OA, and I heard about the tools, I heard about the steps, I heard about the fellowship, I heard about service. And my sponsor said, Barbara, service is not slimming. Service is about reducing your ego. And she also said to me, Barbara, she's kind of raunchy, if you sit on your pity pot too long, all you're going to get is a red ring around your ass. So get off your pity pot and start working the program, not half-heartedly, but 100%. And I'm here to tell you, in shock and awe, it worked. But the clue was honesty, willingness, and thoroughness. Because we all do destructive things to avoid our obesity, our dieting, our starving, our over-exercising or purging.
Time, please.
But once, I'll just finish. Once we honestly examine our histories, we can deny it no longer. Thank you so much. I pass.
Thank you so much, Barbara B. And Cheryl S., you're up, followed by Ronnie B. Go ahead, Cheryl.
Hi, Cheryl S., Illinois, recovered compulsive overeater. For me, this paragraph talks about so much that hits home with me because when I was first starting, I was pretty much in a state of overwhelm. I'd argued with God about whether or not this was even something I needed. He kept insisting it was. I kept arguing with him about that and finally surrendered and said, okay, fine, but I still don't think it's what I need. Surrendered, in air quotes there. But It's amazing to me because this paragraph is like such a paragraph of hope and of, you know, other people saying that they've not seen people fail if they're actually, you know, following that path. And in the time that I have been following this path, I went from the beginning where I was very resistant and resilient or resistant and like adamant that I still didn't need to be here, but I was going to do this because it's what God was calling me to do and thinking, you know, there's no way this is going to help, but I'm going to be willing to do it. And I worked the steps. And in the beginning, somebody had told me, you're not ready if you still think that at some point you're going to be able to go back to stuff. And it wasn't that I was unwilling or didn't think that or thought that I had to go back to stuff. I guess I just hadn't really thought it through thoroughly. And so when I had had this conversation with a person on outreach, and she's like, you have to, you know, cut those alcoholic foods out of your life for forever. And I'm like, forever, ever? Like, I'm never going to be able to have sugar again that forever? Like, ever? And then I sat down and thought about it and I prayed about it and I'm like, okay, I don't have to think about forever. I only have to think about today. That's what the steps said to do. That's what my sponsor's saying to do. I don't have to worry about forever. I only have to worry about right now, this choice, this time, and turn that over to my higher power one decision at a time. And, I could care less about what, you know, the holidays may bring or, you know, what foods I can't have now. And it's amazing because it was hopeful to me to read this chapter before I was here. And now I hope it brings other people as much hope, especially when they can hear from people that have followed those steps and have released that and have been honest with themselves and their sponsor and have worked the steps and have had so much success. Thank you. With that, I'll pass.
Thank you. Thank you, Cheryl S. in Illinois. And Ronnie B., good morning. You're up, followed by Nadia B.
Thank you. Ronnie B. in Missouri, compulsive overeater, grateful to be here and grateful to have heard everyone. This is one of my all-time favorites, and I say that about a lot of pieces in the big book. But nevertheless, I need to know what it takes to win, and this chapter tells me that, right? Because rarely has anyone failed that has followed this, in fact, thoroughly followed that. So I know there's a lot of room for growth because thoroughly is like never making a mistake, always being perfect. But I really do try every day, a day at a time, to do that. So what I had on my mind today was over the weekend, Mother's Day, at company, and my daughter made us all dinner, really, really nice. And at the end of dinner, so I had nothing to do with the meal, and it was hands-off for me. And that's really, and I knew what the meal was. My daughter did, and she knew I could eat it. So that was wrapped up. But then after the dinner, my son said, "Wow, Mandel, what's for dessert? And I could go for some ice cream." And she hadn't bought any dessert, and we seldom think of that, truthfully, for the most part. Because if I have anything, it's fresh fruit, and that's part of my meal. I don't use the word dessert. And that's true. It's like that's the trigger word, okay? And so I know I still have a ways to go if that's a trigger word. But nevertheless, on a scale of 1 to 1 million, that's like very low. So anyway, my daughter didn't feel like going out, so I said to my son, "Well, I could run to the convenience store." And you know, that was fine. And I want to tell you, at that moment, real food neutrality, as my sponsor pointed out. So I did get in the store, and they all gave me their list of what flavor. And as I was going up and down the aisle trying to get each flavor, I saw things I used to buy in replacement of ice cream. You know, so things that were no sugar added, sugar free. This is just a non-dairy dessert. And I was thinking how I used to buy those in the bundles because in my denial, that was all acceptable food. Today, and I don't know what's acceptable to anyone else, so I don't even go there, but I know that those made me crazy. Those made me just as crazy. So anyway, I bought everything for everyone, got it back home, still okay, and then it hit me. Oh, my God, I was able to go to the store and do this. And it wasn't like I was like, "Oh my God, are you like on shaky ground?" I wasn't on shaky ground. It was just I went and got it for them. And I bought myself strawberries, totally acceptable food, completely okay with me. So, and then when I got it back, my son and his girlfriend still had other homes to visit. And they said, "Well, this will melt by the time we get it home." A, I had no room in the freezer. B, I was grateful for that. Because I don't test the waters a whole lot, meaning time. Okay, I'll wrap it up. So the short version is I was okay with it. It was food neutrality, and that's all because all of you have helped me. Thank you.
And thank you, Ronnie B. in Missouri. And before I take you, Nadia, a reminder, we're on page 58, the first paragraph. But rarely have we seen a person fail. And I can probably take one person after Nadia, so be ready to hop in after Nadia. Go ahead, Nadia. Good morning.
Good morning, Kathleen. Thank you so much for your service. My name is Nadia B., gratefully recovered compulsive overeater in Connecticut. What really came to my attention today is people who cannot or will not completely give themselves to this simple program. And I denied myself this program for a long time. It took me 5 years in, you know, sitting in OA rooms until I, you know, was serious about working the steps and getting the sponsor for a reason to work the steps. You know, I have missed out for 5 years on a gift of this program. You know, denial is do not even know I'm lying. You know, that's the acronym. And I really, really did not know what I did not know.
And, you know, sometimes, even today, I don't even know what I don't know. I don't know what's in my future. I don't know what I need to do. I have different decisions to be made. For me, the point today that I am willing to ask for help today. You know, I do not lie to myself or I don't sit for 5 years and wait till something happens, till something miraculously, you know, as we like to say, pixie dust or gets sprinkled with some type of substance and finally my life changes. You know, I know I cannot do this program on my own. And that's the honesty here. I need a sponsor. I need every tool I can get here. And that's a gift of this program. You know, where else do you get free help, right? And I'm just really grateful for people who come before me, who have done this before me, and who are willing and honest and open to giving this gift to me, and I don't have to deny myself the simplicity of this program. You know, just talking to someone else, asking them, what did you do to survive this disease? Because I am one of those with emotional and mental disorders, but I do have the capacity to be honest. And I know that, you know, I have never met a person that failed who had thoroughly followed this path. And I'm just really grateful that this path exists for me today. And with that, I'll pass.
And who would like to share? I have time for one more before we wrap up this morning.
A.
Say your name again.
Liz A.
Okay, go ahead, Liz. Thanks.
Hi, I'm Liz A. from Michigan, recovering from bulimia, anorexia, compulsive overeating. This is so powerful to me. It brings me back to when I came into program, because I was so far down that road. I really needed to be hospitalized for my eating disorder. And when I called the hospital, they just said, we're sorry, we can't help you. You don't have insurance. And so a friend of mine that I had grown up with brought me into Overeaters Anonymous. And I actually was in such bad shape that I actually thought I'd have to be locked in my room, that I couldn't trust myself or I would need a bodyguard. And so I recorded my voice, not that I thought it was great, but I tape recorded. I came in 1986. So I tape recorded how it works. And I listened to this thing over and over and over and over because I knew this was the map. This was what the big book was telling me were the steps, were the actions that were going to help me recover from a hopelessly difficult bottom. This is just so powerful to me. The honesty, I knew I had the capacity to be honest. I also knew that I suffered from grave emotional and mental disorders. I knew I had the mental twist, the mental phenomena, the craving. But I had hope. I had that hope that I could recover if I just kept trying this thing over and over and over. And I'm a slow learner and a quick forgetter. But thank you, God. I have over 5 years of abstinence, and I just keep coming back one day at a time. Thank you.
And thank you, Liz E. from Michigan. And thank you all for your beautiful, heartfelt shares this morning. Really awesome meeting, as always. So we are going to close with a reading from the Big Book on page 164, followed by the Serenity Prayer. So, Julie E.B., if you would please read A Vision for You.
Hi, this is Julie E.B., gratefully recovered in Colorado Springs. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order. But obviously you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it your relationship is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is a great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you until then.